we're going to continue going through these great prophecies in Isaiah. If you were here the last couple of weeks, the first week in chapter 1 of Isaiah, it was a call to repentance. And God just called his people to repentance. And people just collectively said to God, no, I don't think so. I'll be fine. I'll just continue to go down to the temple once a year. I'll offer my sheep and everything will be good. To that, in Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord called the nation to repentance. And you know what the nation said? Nah, everything's good. I'll be all right. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord appeared to Isaiah in a vision. The Bible does not say that Isaiah went to the throne room of God, but it said he had a vision. And in that vision, you know what the first thing Isaiah realized about himself when he saw the Lord? He realized he was a sinful man. And he said, I'm a sinful man and I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. And the Lord sent him on a vision, sent him on a ministry. And the Lord told him, said to him, listen, I want you to know before you start your ministry, I want you to know it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. It's not going to end well. You are going to preach your heart out, and people are systematically, because of a hard heart and because of dull ears, they're not going to pay any attention to what you say. And so what was always striking to me about that passage is Isaiah's response to God's word that this is not going to go well was a typical human response. He said, how long? In other words, if I'm going to have to endure it, how long? And the Lord basically said, for the rest of your life. And when we look at this passage today, what makes this so amazing is the next thing that the Bible talks about after chapter 6 is found in chapter 7. And we meet this king named Ahaz. And I want to say, I know I'm not perfect. Listen, let me rephrase that. I know I'm a sinner. All right? I know I'm a sinner. And I know that sin separates us from God. And I know that one person's sin is not worse than the other. Once you sin, there is the holy, righteous God, and then there's us. And so one of the things that we like to do to make ourselves feel better is we like to look at a person who is just this wicked, wretched sinner and feel better about ourselves. And if you ever wanted to do that, you need to look at King Ahaz. I'm going to read, even though we're in Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And I want you to listen to what this fella did. And I want you to hear, just think about how that as Christian people, how that it makes us just shudder to think that somebody did these things. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning with verse 19, the Bible says, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, the king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judea, and he had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. For Ahaz took part of the treasury of the house of the Lord from the house of the king and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. And in that time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord." And listen to what he did. "For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judea, he made high places to burn incense to other God. And he provoked the Lord God of his fathers to anger." Can you imagine somebody that knows better pulling a stunt like that? Can you imagine somebody taking the things of the house of the Lord and chopping them into pieces and basically nailing the door shut? And what's astounding is he was representative of the people of that day. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you, God, we come very humbly into your presence. God, it is so easy for us to look at somebody like King Ahaz and say, I would never do anything like that. And God, I pray that you will take this word that you have given us today. God, I pray that you will mold it and God, you will make it fit in that place in our heart. And God, help every one of us to see that apart from your grace, apart from your mercy, and apart from your love, we are just like him. So God, would you just be with us, speak to us today as we look at this passage of Scripture. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 7. And what we see here is that this, it just says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramallah, the king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it." So these two kings, they go up and they're going to ransack the nation. And basically, the northern kingdom there is going to be referred to Ephraim in just a second. But Syria, it was like the world superpower. So everybody's against this king. He knows he's in trouble, and he knows he needs to do something to save his people, to save his kingdom. And in verse 2 it says, "And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim." And that's in northern Israel. And what's amazing is when the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said to the house of David, he's talking about the promise that God made to David. Now this is very important to understand all the things that are going to take place in this chapter. God had made a promise to the second king of Israel, David. God promised him that one of his descendants would always be on the throne of Israel. All right? And so he was talking about in a spiritual sense, and he was also talking about in a physical sense. But God told them what was going to happen if they turned their back spiritually on the Lord, that this country, this land would be removed from them. And so what happens is these forces gather. If you look at the end of the verse there, it says, So that his heart and the heart of his people were moved as trees of the wind. And so literally, these people are so afraid, they're just swaying back and forth. Like they don't know what to do. They are horrified. They know if their country's overrun, they will be sold into slavery. They'll be seen all over the known world. They know they'll be separated from their wives, their kids. They know they'll never see them again. And they will be sent all over the kingdom to do all these various tasks that obviously they don't want to do. And what's amazing is these people did not understand that they could trust the Lord. Now, we're going to have to move here, or I'm going to have to move here just a little bit for time. But this is what I want us all to remember. Have you ever noticed that when we get in the biggest trouble in life, that's when it's the easiest to tell what we believe? Because when a person is really in trouble, they're going to look to whatever they think can help them. Be it another person, be it the Lord, whatever, somebody's going to turn to whatever it is. And so in verse 3, the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out and meet Ahaz and your son." So he takes his son, and it's Shear Jashub. And that word means a remnant will return. And if you were here last week, all of that is in chapter 6. And he said, "Go to the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field." And he's going to send him there to take a message. And he wants him to tell him to take heed. And the first thing that we always should do is we should always take heed. And what that word means is to remember the promises of God. Remember what God has said. And remember that the Lord is the God Almighty. And he tells him to be quiet. In other words, that is to have an inner confidence. Know that what the Lord has said is going to come to pass. And the Lord specifically asked this pagan king to trust him. And he says, "Do not fear or be faint-hearted for these two stubs of smoking firebrands." And he says that they're basically going to just come to nothing. So, major problem. I mean a major problem. His country is about to be overrun. He knows he's about to be killed. He knows terrible things are about to happen to him. And God sends a prophet and says, "Hang on, trust me." Do you think this pagan king would say, "Sure, I'll be glad to do that"? You know what he did? This guy doubled down. He knows these kings are coming. He knows that they want to put a gap in the wall, and they're going to establish themselves a king. And this is in the end of verse 6. And the name of the king is the son of Tabal. And this is an Assyrian word, and they very much struggle to figure out what it means. But they think it's a play on the phrase that God is good. And they're going to establish a king on the throne whose name means God is no good. And so what happens is the Lord tells him that it's not going to happen. The Lord says that these guys, within 65 years, that they will be gone and they will not be a people anymore. And he goes on in verse 9, and he asks him a very simple question. Well, he makes a statement in verse 9. He says, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Now, I want you to just think about for just a second this situation. This guy is in major trouble. The entire nation is looking to him to provide wisdom, leadership, guidance, and protection. And this guy knows there's nothing he can do. He knows he's outnumbered, he knows he's outgunned, and he knows he's going to live. I mean, he knows that he's going to die. And so the Lord sends a prophet. And the prophet says to him, hey, buddy, if you'll just believe, surely you, if you will not believe, you will not be established. And what God is telling him through the prophet is, it's true of pagans and it's true of believers. At some point, we have to place our faith in the Lord. You know, it's great to stand here and say, you know, if you've never been saved today, you need to give your heart to the Lord. That's true. If you've never been saved today, you need to give your heart to the Lord. Not for me, but for your relationship with the Lord. But you know what's just as true? Those of us that know we are saved, we got to make a decision. We have to make a decision whether we are going to trust the Lord, whether we're going to place our faith in Him. And when I was looking at these verses, I was struck by the fact that the Lord God gives grace to a pagan king. My question to you today would be, why didn't God say, just wipe them off the face of the earth? Why didn't God say, why don't you just do the world a favor? Let's get rid of these people. Let's just wipe them off the face of the earth. And God didn't do that. And not only did God not do that, God gave this guy a second chance. God said to this pagan king, and I know that we're all sinners, but I just cannot believe that we would ever do something like that. And God says to this pagan king, I want to give you grace. And my question to you is, if God was willing to give this pagan king grace, how much more does he want to give it to us? How much more does he want us to experience the love and forgiveness, and in this case, protection that he offers? And look at verse 10. This is something like that will make your will spin in your mind. This is what the Lord told the king through Isaiah. The Lord spoke again to the king, to Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it neither in depth nor in height above. And you know what the Lord said to him? The Lord said to this pagan king standing out in front of all of these people, ask anything you want. Anything. And whatever you ask me, I'm going to show you that I'm about to deliver these people. And I'm going to do it by performing whatever you ask. Now, come on. Can we have church just a second here? Now, what will we be thinking? I mean, the Lord God Almighty just handed somebody a signed blank check and said, go ahead. Let's see what you got. Go ahead. But you know what's amazing? This check is not written in a monetary sums. This check is written on God's grace. Amen. That's what he said to him. That's what he said to that pagan king. He said, buddy, let's find out something. Here, whatever you want, go ahead. Now, it's hard not to think, well, boy, you know, finances, world peace, boy. And you know what this pagan king said to the Lord? This is very interesting. This pagan king said in verse 12, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And when he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God also? And isn't it interesting to those of us that call ourselves believers, and notice I pointed myself, but isn't it interesting that we call ourselves believers, but it's a lack of faith that wearies God, not the size of our enemies? Amen. Have you ever thought about that? God is not concerned about how many people are outside the wall. God is not concerned about what those people want to do to his people. God is concerned about why that they won't have faith. And Ahab is that perfect example from last week in Isaiah chapter 6 about a person who's hard-hearted, about a person whose ears are dull. He would not listen. He had secretly made a pact. We know that in the Bible from 2 Chronicles that he was relying on the aid of another country. But we also know that that aid did not come. And this guy was so afraid that if he took God at his word, he would be obligated to worship and serve him. And basically what Ahaz said is, I don't care what you do, I'm not going to serve you. Can you imagine being offered a blank check from God? And back to that open invitation, we respond with, I don't care what you do, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, part of those things about what Ahaz did that was so terrible and so awful, that seems so distant. It doesn't seem like we would ever do that. But in all honesty, how many of us have ever said to the Lord, I really don't care what you do. I'm not doing that. Right? Yes. Come on now. Y'all getting all spiritual on me. Right? Amen. Sometimes we're like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And see, we don't put ourselves in the place of Ahaz. We just put ourselves in the person that believes once saved, always saved, right? Right? We just justify it. God really doesn't want me to do that. Well, in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the sign is, he said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. We're going to look in Matthew in just a second and see how that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this verse was used to refer to the Lord. But at the moment he said that, when he used the word the virgin, he was talking about somebody that was standing there. There was somebody at this moment that was standing there that was known to all these people, because the king, when he went out to look at the aqueduct, he would have carried all his entourage with him. So there's these whole groups of people there, and he refers to this lady, this one particular individual. She was of marrying age based on this word that he used, but she was not married, and she was obviously a virgin. And he said, she will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In verse 15, it says, curds and honey he shall eat. That was the usual food of the day. So everything would have seemed quite normal, that he may grow to know to refuse evil and choose the good. And in verse 16, it says, for before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, approximately 2 to 3 years old, the land that you dread, the land that makes you sick, the land that makes you nauseous, the land that makes you want to vomit, will be forsaken by both her kings. And so this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, in just a matter of time, in just a matter of a couple of years, these two guys are going to be gone. They're going to be dealt with. And I know that when we come to church, especially when we look at the narratives in the Old Testament, sometimes these stories seem really long ago. But I want to read to you what happened because Ahaz didn't listen to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 5, it said, therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of the king of Syria. And they defeated him, and they carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. And he also delivered into the hands of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. And I want you in your mind right now, I want you to pick a number of how many people you think, how many soldiers died in one day because of one person's sin. I'm going to read it to you in just a second, but I want you to pick a number. All right, have you got your number? It says these kings killed 120,000 people in one day. And the Bible says they were all valiant men because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. See, what the devil convinces us is that when I do something bad, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just doing that. It's just me. And we don't see the connection between the sins and the nation. And when there are sins, it doesn't matter whose they are. It doesn't matter what they are. Those sins eventually result in death. And so when we look at Isaiah, we see that God is telling us as His people to get out, do the work that God has called us to do, do what He has told us to do. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Some people have signed up on one of them. One of them is an evangelism team. Listen, we need to be in the community sharing the gospel more than we are. We need to be. We need to be out there because, listen, people who die without Jesus are going to spend eternity in hell. Right? There's not one single thing that I can do to save myself or anybody else, but we can sure tell them about the one that will. Amen? Amen. And listen, there's a sheet back there. It's been back there 2 weeks. Nobody signed up yet. Hey, I'm a patient fellow. We'll just keep talking about it. One is, the other thing is what I call a community team. Listen, there's people all over our area that needs to know there is a God in heaven that cares about them. Do you think there would be any empty seats in any church, anywhere, if the people in that community honestly believed that God loved them and cared about them? I don't. I know there are people that cannot come. I understand. You know, we have, I'm thinking specifically of a lady that has a husband who has cancer and all the time. She can't come. She'd be here if she could. That's fine. There are people like that. There are people who are sick. And if you're sick, those of us who are not wish you would stay home that Sunday. But by and large, there is a whole slew of people that live right here around this church. And if you ask them, does anybody care about you? They would say no. Amen?
Amen?
They would say no. Come on now. I want to hear some amens from the back. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, listen. And is that their fault or is that our fault? It's our fault. Yeah, it might be their fault, but it can also might be our fault. And we got to understand, we got to get out there. It is awesome that we can all quote John 3:16. But if we don't get out there and show somebody what that means, and we have to realize we have a responsibility. Everybody that you work with, everybody in your family, everybody that you know that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus is going to die and spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell forever. In Matthew chapter 1, I just want to read how that this verse is applied in Scripture to the Messiah. The Messiah is very important because in the book of Isaiah, the nation of Israel is just about done. If you go back and read in Deuteronomy, God said, if you obey me, if you keep my commandments, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be prosperous in the land. If you turn your back on me, if you go after the other nations, you do what they do, you're going to be removed from this land. And that is exactly what happened. So listen in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, he said, and while, just speaking of Joseph, and while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. And so Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. And he took to him his wife, and he did not know her until she had brought forth their firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When I was reading this in verse 24, I could not help but marking the words, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Do you know, as far as Grace Baptist Church is concerned, it is time for us to do what we know to do. It is time for us to proclaim to a lost and dying world, hey, you don't have to die in your sins. We have to be out letting people know what God has done for them. Just as we start our invitation, I was drawing a contrast between Ahaz and Jesus. And you know, Ahaz was as unrighteous as any man who ever lived. But Jesus is the only righteous king that ever lived. Ahaz was a king that led his people away from the Lord. But Jesus is the king that leads his people to the Lord. Ahaz, as a king, doubted the promises of God. But Jesus, as a king, fulfills all the promises of God. Ahaz led the nation into captivity, but Jesus sets the captives free. Ahaz was a temporary earthly king, but Jesus is the King of Kings forever. Ahaz refused God's grace, but Jesus is God's grace. Collectively, you and I need to wake up and do all of the things that God has called us to do. Over the last several weeks, I told you, if you were not here the first week, I preached on repentance. The second week was on the nation needs to repent. And the third week was on the holiness of God when he was called to the throne room of God. And we need to realize holiness and righteousness has to be lived out in obedience. And I just want to plead with us as we go into our invitation that we'll make the decision once and for all in our hearts. We're not going to be the people that know what's wrong and not do anything about it. We're not going to be the people that know what the solution is but refuse to do it ourselves. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, I know that all across this room, Lord, we're all in different places going in different directions. And God, I know that there are a plenty of people in this room that at this moment they don't have any unconfessed sin. God, their heart is right with you. And Lord, I thank you so much that that's true. But God, there's also others. And God, they just never have once and for all made the decision about their sin. And God, somehow they think, Lord, that they're going to figure it out or it doesn't hurt anything. But God, that's just not true. And so right now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of any person in this room that has unconfessed sin. God, I pray that you would just speak to them. And God, I pray that they would respond. But Lord, I also pray that we as your people collectively, God, we need to repent too because we're not doing everything you want us to do. God, some of the things that we are doing or not doing are things that we want to do. And so, God, I pray that right now, we will make a commitment that we're going to be your people and we're going to do what you said. And God, I pray that you will use this message today, just like Joseph, just wake us up. Just wake us up. Shake us back to the reality that time is very limited. And God, that all around us, people are making choices every day that separate them from you. And God, I pray that we would be people that are determined, not for our glory, but for yours, to get out into this community, live in obedience to your word, and love people enough to tell them the truth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As always, this altar is open. If you need to come down, if you need to pray, you need to make do any business with God, you're welcome to do that. If you're getting close to the age I am, I can get down but can't get up, feel free to use these chairs across the front. But just by coming forward, you're just signaling to the Lord, Lord, I'm doing business with you today. And you take as long as you need because, after all, that's what we're here to do. So at this time, as Ryan leads us in our invitation, you respond as the Lord has laid it on your heart today.
Let's stand together. Sing this with us.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. Thank you.
One day we will. One day we will. And it better not be your first time. It better be the second. But anyway, we'll get, that's another sermon that I'm not going to preach during after the invitation. Hey, you see all the announcements on the back? We do have a business meeting after church today. It's our regularly scheduled business meeting, our quarterly business meeting. There are lots of things going on in our church. The one I want to continue to put in a shameless plug for, and I didn't bring my money today yet either, but we are taking up the Margaret Lackey Missions Offering. Please give to that. There's these booklets that they send over. They're scattered all around. Look at all the things that they do with that money. This is what the money's going for. Our goal for our church is $2,100. We need to surpass that. I'm just going to be honest with you. We do. It's worth it to make that sacrifice to give. So it's above the tithe, and that's what it is. It's a sacrifice. So I want to thank y'all for being here. Ron is going to dismiss us, and then after we've had a moment, we will start our business meeting. So I want to confess something really funny. Last time we had a business meeting, yours truly got to talking about something that was very important about Sunday school, and I left and went to the other building, and y'all had a business meeting without me. And so if I'm not back there today, it's because something really important happened, but I'm coming back. So, all right. I do remember that.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you for another day to come into your presence, to come and to worship you and to hear from you in your word. Lord, as we go out into just our community and our world and our homes and our places of work or school, Lord, wherever it is that you're taking us, Lord, help us to live lives that are worthy of your calling. Lord, help us to love our community and to glorify you through the way we live each day. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.